We've been talking about receiving that glorified body in Christ, the day that the trumpet sounds, and how amazing is it that we are going to receive a new outward body. And it's one of the things I think in our Christian culture we've accepted, that there'll be a resurrection of the dead, we receive a new outward body, and hopefully you're learning more about why you need to receive a new outward body. The fact that you're going to receive a new outward body, a glorified body, and in that body contains the natural mind, the natural set of emotions, the natural desires, that's going to be replaced with a new outward body. But we see also that means that you're stuck right now with an unglorified body. The body you're wearing now was left over from the family of Adam, from your first birth. And it really is the source of many of your struggles. It's sad, in a way, that the church hasn't exposed more of this to the people and helped us to see that you're in a fight for your life to serve God or serve the desires of the outward man. I think as a church, we have focused so much on sin. You need to stop smoking and drinking and not really help people to see it's so much more than that. Your outward body's desires aren't just for sin. They're also to tell you what to be successful. They're also trying to tell you how to be happy. Most people, they live their life pleasing the desires of their outward man. And you are a new man inside of that outward body. You are a new creation, a whole new creature wearing the body of the old man. And either you accept that you're in a fight every day to rule over that old man, or you accept that your body is who you are. Most Christians don't even realize that they are wearing the body that is not who they are anymore. So in Romans 8, we're going to continue on this. And I just want to maybe share a few parts of this to get the idea of the difference between how are you going to manage this outward man? How are you going to manage the outward body? If you don't manage it right, it will rule over your life. It'll tell you who to marry. It'll tell you what job you need to take. And the world's designed around how to appease the outward man. They look at you and they look at your personality traits and they help you to find a career that fits your personality traits. Well, that personality trait may not be from God. The whole model of the church that God will help make your dreams come true. What if those dreams aren't from God? What if they're of their outward man? I spent a lot of years trying to please other people's purposes. When I was young, I'd have people I respected, looked up to, and I would try to be like them and try to please them, their desires for me and their plans for me. And it took me many years to quit trying to win approval of men and women that I respected and to learn who God wanted me to be. And that's quite a transformation. And really, that's the answer to all of our battles and all of these questions is simply transform. Do the things such as spend time praying in tongues, spend time in the Word of God, spend time worshiping God, and let the fruit come forward of transformation, and you will be living as that new creature that God made you and no longer living as the old man. See, the body that you're wearing has desires for you. It has plans for you. It can be lusts, it can be sins, but it's so much more than that. The sins of smoking and drinking, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The real struggle that most people don't, the reason they don't even see it is because it's hidden underneath. It's not sin. It's less than what God wants. Let's start over in Romans chapter 8, do some kind of pass and review. Hopefully you've been studying these verses with me as we've been going through the transformation series. And Romans 8 is a great synopsis of the battle that you've been left in, wearing the outward man, and God's plan for you to overcome being ruled by your outward body in this world. I'm going to start in Romans 8 verse 10. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Again, that simply means that when you are born again, you receive the nature of Christ, Your outward body was left in darkness, left dead in death because of the sin in it, but the inner body was brought to life because of righteousness. So the new nature brought to life the inner body. So now you have an inner body, that's you. You live in that inner body. And a new nature, you own that, that's part of you. And you are the new nature, you have the new nature, you have the inner body, but you're still wearing the old body of darkness, this outward body. So the inner man, the spiritual body, the spiritual man is alive and righteous and holy and perfect in Christ, and the outward man is left in darkness. So you now have a source of emotions, a source of intellect of your inner man that can know the depths of God made of light, but you're still wearing the outward intellect, the outward set of emotions and desires of darkness. And that's the battle every Christian faces. Not just sin, but of ideas and thoughts and plans. But if the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body. He'll quicken your mortal body through his spirit which dwells in you. So when the trumpet sounds, you'll receive a new outward body. This mortal body will no longer be on you. You'll be wearing a body of righteousness, a body of light, a body of Christ. It'll be as righteous as Jesus himself. That's the new body. And then he continues now talking about this outward body that you're wearing. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, and I want to focus on this a little bit. If by the Spirit you mortify, or in the New King James it says you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So see, your body has desires. The same way hunger speaks to you out of nowhere. Just out of nowhere, you're hungry. And sleep speaks to you out of nowhere, you get tired. You don't ask for it. It just comes. Well, also are the desires of the outward body. The desires for happiness, success, protection. Multiple, many, many things of this world that your outward body desires. Prestige, pride, anger, jealousy, envy. These are all desires or appetites of the natural body. In the same way hunger just comes forward, so do the appetites for these lusts or these desires. And you must learn and actively deny them, and then eventually you get to mortify them. You can mortify those desires that tell you you're unworthy, or that tell you that you're overworthy, that you're special. You can mortify, put to death. That's what it means to mortify. You put it to death. That's different than denying. If you have to struggle in an area, struggle to love someone, struggle to forgive someone, struggle to resist against temptation, it means it's not mortified yet. Denying it's good job, but there's a further process called mortification. I know many people who, the way they tackle their body is through willpower, through strength, through forcing themselves to obey. And they can, for a season, they can force themselves not to give in to their body. They force themselves to act a certain way. They force themselves to behave as the Word of God. But really, they're just acting. They're acting in force. That's different than mortification. Mortification means that you've built something of God in you, and you mortified the outward man, you put it to death. Willpower is using the strength of your decision to not give in to your body, to not give in to the desires of the flesh. And many people make the mistake of thinking that they have power over their flesh, so they stay there. That works until they get tired physically or emotionally, or they get lonely or sad or depressed. And then that temptation comes forward, the one that they've held back comes forward and it overtakes them. And that's a shock that sometimes people run into, and they see someone who they think is such a strong believer and they see them stumble at something. Well, you know, we don't blame people for stumbling. It happens. We forgive them and pray for them. But the reason you're shocked is because you thought they were strong, because they were strong in their willpower until they weren't. That's like me on a diet. I'm strong. I'm going to be like this until I'm not. And that's the difference. Is in mortification, you could kill the part of your desires of the flesh where it doesn't speak to you anymore. So that's why it says to mortify the deeds of the body. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, verse 14, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. So here he's again talking about the suffering that you're going through because you're still wearing the outward body. And the fact that we're going to be glorified together with Christ when the trumpet sounds. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This suffering isn't sickness, disease. This is the suffering that every believer should go through every day with resisting and denying, number one, the desires and the leading of their outward body, and number two, the actual job of mortifying it. And if you want to know how to mortify your outward body, it's not by a choice that I'm going to choose not to do something. It starts with that. But it's the choice to let yourself go into prayer, praying in tongues, into worship, into the Word of God, into fasting. Going into those areas by practicing those things, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to help you to find the areas in your natural emotions that are contrary to the Word of God, that are trying to pull you away from the Word of God. In other words, the reason you are the way you are, the reason you think the way you think, the reason you act the way you act, the reason you like what you like, came from somewhere in your natural man. And the Holy Spirit will help you to find those areas, the root of those areas. We've had many people over the years as a preacher that I used to try to police them as a preacher, as a leader over Bible college students who paid money to come to learn to be ministers. We'd have to be like policemen trying to keep them from destroying themselves, from self-destruction, from all kinds of sins and activities, driven, running around in those activities. We were like policemen, and we would deal with them like, hey, you need to stop that. And they would stop it, but it was like we were cutting the fruit. Okay, we'll stop it. And they stop it, and they cut the fruit. But then they do it again after a few months, and then we get on to them, and then they try and they do it again. And this cycle of doing it again over and over, eventually, if you're not careful, you'll just start hiding it, start putting it aside. That's not that bad. My wife, she has this area in our yard that she's cultivated. It's got a nice deck with some rock and a beautiful little area, a retreat kind of thing in our backyard. And sure enough, every spring, the little weeds start growing. In grass, in the rocks, the little rocks. Well, it's because the seeds got blown into the rocks. She went around and she cut them all off and was really pleased with it. But sure enough, after a couple of days, it started to grow some more. And it was ruining her beautiful little area. And I said, you got to pull it up by the roots. Because if you leave the roots, it's going to grow back. And you can cut it, you can pull it. But if you don't get all the roots, that thing is going to grow back. Well, that's what mortification is. Mortification is finding the root and killing the root. And if you kill the root, you don't have to worry about the fruit coming forward or the grass coming forward because you've killed it at the root. That is what mortification is. That is what we are supposed to be doing as believers with our natural body, is allowing the Holy Spirit to help you find the root of what is in your natural man, what made you the way you are, and to kill it, to mortify it. That's the suffering. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Now, I know we've gone through these a number of times, but I'm doing this on purpose because it's very important you get the full picture of Romans 8 and follow the path of God that he has laid out for our salvation. And as you learn these verses in Romans 8, you should know these verses and what they mean deep in your heart and in your understanding, because there's so many verses in this chapter taken out of context, and it makes it lose its power. Verse 21, because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, for hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Listen, just by taking time every day to pray in tongues, you are allowing the Holy Spirit to come into your life and begin to teach you and show you and shine a light on the areas of your life that are controlling you. And you may not even know it. You may not even realize it. And this is many, many, many Christians bring their outward man to church, and their outward man is happy to go to church. And they live their life serving God with their outward body and never realize that their job is not to appease the outward man. They're to mortify the outward man. I think there's too many motivational speakers in the church world and not enough mortification preachers in the church world. Because your flesh will be okay with motivation. It seeks motivation. But really, the scripture says we are to mortify the outward man. Likewise, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, helps with our weaknesses, those weaknesses that you're struggling with, the things that are holding you back from believing God, that all his promises come to pass in your life. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now we taught this, that this here, verse 28, that all things work together for good, you can't have that verse unless you have the verse 26 and 27. If you're not allowing the Holy Spirit, or let me put it this way, if you are allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you the perfect will of God in your life, if you spend time every day just praying in tongues, every day the Holy Spirit is praying the perfect will of God in your life. He's making intercession for you through you. And then it says that if that's you, then you can say, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so the difference is when someone has a car wreck or breaks a leg or someone has something bad happen to them and someone quotes this verse, they're just saying, well, God will turn all things for good. You know, you had a car wreck, God will turn that for good. The real way this verse has power is to know that if you're praying the will of God, even if the enemy comes against you, you know that it's going to turn around for good. Because the will of God is for you to have victory and success. The will of God is not the lack of battles. It's walking through every battle. When God sent his children Israel into the promised land. They had to go kill those giants. It wasn't just gifted to them, it was given them, and then they had to go kill the giants in the land. So if you're facing a giant, but you're praying in tongues, know that you're going to kill that giant. You're going to win if you don't stop. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we've talked about this. This verse is talking about God's plan for all generations. The predestined and who he foreknew are the people before Jesus that were in paradise, that he had planned already for them to be conformed to receive their glorified body when they were raised from the dead. That they were conformed into salvation. They were born again after Jesus came. What an amazing plan of God that even for the generations before Jesus, he made a way for them to find salvation. Amazing. We have a Father who's amazing. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So this is talking about the Old Testament saints. Everyone prior to Jesus, those of Noah's early world, those after Noah, those of Israel, they had the ability to qualify for heaven before Jesus came. And they were held in Abraham's bosom or paradise, the same place. And when Jesus came and preached in hell, that's who he preached to. And he allowed them to get born again and follow him out of death into life. We look back to the cross. They were looking forward to the cross. And these he justified and they also he glorified, meaning they've already received their glorified body, the one that you are waiting for. And because you don't have it, that's why you're in the battle. And that's why you have to be cautious, not to just live life, because you'll know you'll end up living life pleasing your outward desires of your outward man. Verse 31, or what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What are these things? Everything that has come against you, everything you face in life, in this world, it's mean enough. People are mean enough. But this life isn't easy. This life is hard. It can be very hard for some people. It can be very difficult in moments of being difficult. And here he says, what then shall we say to these things? That if God is for us, who can be against us? That should be on our chest, tattooed. That if God is for us, who can be against us? That's a cry of victory while you're in the middle of a fight. That I have already won. God is for me. How is God for you? Well, it tells you that he's made a plan for you, but you have to pray out that plan and allow the plan to unfold in your life. He's got a plan for whatever comes against you, either in life, in health, in finances, even whatever the enemy comes against you. You know, the enemy, he's skillful at causing trouble. And you'll wonder sometimes, you're doing your best to be nice, to love people, to help people, and then you find out they're talking bad about you and saying awful things about you. I'm sure you've had that happen. Well, that's the enemy working through them. Have forgiveness for them. Have mercy on them. The enemy will stir up trouble to discredit you, to cause you to discourage you. And you can say, if God is for me, who can be against me? I can win no matter what I'm going through. No matter what I'm facing, I can win. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give you all things? I want to start begin to look closer now as we're talking about some of these wording. How shall he not with you also freely give you all things? If he gave his son to die on the cross for you, do you think, seriously think, that he's withholding provision and health and withholding happiness from you? He's not withholding anything from you. He has freely given us all things. Well, great preacher, how do I get those things? Well, that's the message of mortification, the message of prayer, that you need to grow up. We need to grow up in the knowledge of God. And as we grow in the knowledge of God by spending time with the Holy Spirit in His Word, in worship, as we grow up in the things of God and handle our outward body by mortifying it, then we will begin to see the truth of what Jesus has given to us come forward in our life, because it's free. And that's really the difference of willpower versus spiritual growth. Willpower kind of says you have it all now, just force it to happen. So you try to force yourself to act like Christ. And you may do good for a season, but eventually you stumble. You find that you keep stumbling no matter how hard you try. Well, that's willpower. Willpower is like me saying, hey, I want you to take 100 pounds and I want you to lift it up. And you and I probably could lift 100 pounds, okay. But how long can you hold that 100 pounds in your hands? See, willpower is how long you can hold back the flesh from leading you. But mortification means that you've killed it. You don't need to hold it. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I want to emphasize here, the freely give us all things isn't mean like it's all done. God, it's all done, it's free, I just receive it. See, you can't believe your flesh away, your outward man away. You can't believe your outward body away. I just believe it's not there. You can't identify it away. I identify with my inner man. That's some of our language I've heard. I just identify with my inner man. I identify with who God made me. I don't identify with my struggles. The struggles don't go away. You can't believe the body away. You can't believe its desires away. You can't say, in Jesus' name, go for me. Yeah, it doesn't listen to that. You can't willpower it away. You can't muscle it away. You can't cry it away. You can't cuss it away. You can't just believe it's not there. It's still there. You must be dealt with. The outward body, the outward desires, the outward man must be dealt with. Church, the outward body you're wearing must be dealt with. The way we deal with it, according to what we're learning in transformation in Romans 8, is we pray in the Holy Ghost, and it allows the Holy Spirit to come alongside and help us to expose the roots of the problem and to mortify. Then we can mortify the root of the problem instead of just pulling off the fruit or cutting the grass all the time and having it grow back over and over and over throughout our life. You can't just believe it away. You must mortify it. So it's been given to us freely. It doesn't mean that it doesn't take effort. It doesn't take work on my part. It doesn't take focus on my part. I just have to receive. It's already done, brother. You've already received it. Just receive it. It's free. It's freely given to us. He's not withholding it from you. But your battle isn't with God. Your fight isn't with God. God, please give it to me. God, please set me free. That's the message. Your fight isn't with God. Your argument's not with God. He loves you. He's for you. He's freely given you these things. Something else is holding it back. And it's your natural body, the natural man. Your lack of knowledge, your lack of growing up spiritually is allowing you to let the natural man rule in your life. Stop blaming God. Well, I went for a prayer line and I guess the preacher just wasn't anointed enough. And I'm still the same. No, you can get 1,000 preachers. And you already have victory. You have to walk it out. And that is why we pray in tongues, worship, and fast. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? And who is God? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. For years and years I thought that that verse meant that no one can separate God from loving me. And that's true too. God loves you and He'll always love you. He'll never take His love from you. You can't make Him stop loving you. You can tell Him to stop loving you and He still won't stop loving you. You can worship other gods and He'll still love you. You can run from God. You can never be saved and end up in hell and He still loves you. His love never changed. It's impossible because He is love. So this verse here is not talking about God's love towards you. It's talking about your attachment that you have once you're saved to God's love, that because you're wearing this natural body, you're going to have wars and battles and struggles. And look at what comes to try to get you to pull away from God, to make you give up on believing that God has your best interest at heart, to give up on the will of God because you've decided you're going to do your own thing, what your flesh desires for you. Look what it says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to get you to let go of the love of Christ? If you're in this process of mortification, of praying in tongues, of seeking God, of following God, who's going to separate? Who has the power to separate you from the love of Christ, to make you let go and say, I'm no longer, you may not mean I'm no longer serving God, but it may mean that I'm no longer obeying God or following the will of God. No man, no devil, no circumstance has the power. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine? These are all the things the devil throws at us, nakedness or peril or the sword, to try to convince you that God's not for you, to try to convince you that you're failing, to try to convince you, discourage you, to try to get you to give up on God loves you. Quit saying that God loves you. Look at your circumstances. Look at your battles. And you can look at these verses and say, no, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing has the power to, because God loves me. And if God is for me, who shall be against me? No matter what is coming against me, and it could be on purpose. It can be people on purpose attacking you. It could be where people talk bad about you, gossip about you, make up things about you. If you're a leader in the church, you might as well get used to that. People maybe misunderstand you, misunderstand your motives. And whatever is coming against you, whether it be people, whether it be people close to you, leaving you, abandoning you, whether it be the devil working against circumstances against you, whatever is coming against you, you know, you can say, it's not God judging me. It's not God punishing me. It's not because I've opened the door or I've separated from God. But I do know this, that I will walk through every tribulation, every distress, every persecution, every battle that comes against me. I have the power to walk through it, not in my strength. Say that with me. Not in my strength, but in His strength. I'm focusing on not using your strength, your willpower. See, if you only use your willpower to push through the battle and desires of the outward man, you will eventually give up and be overtaken. The weeds will overtake you. You'll forget to cut the weeds one day, and they'll grow up twice as tall, and then four times as tall. And willpower does not have the power to overtake the outward man. So you want to use your willful decision, your willpower, to focus it on praying. I'm going to use my willpower to make myself go pray in tongues for 2 hours. I'm going to use my willful decision to worship God for an hour. Lord, I worship You. I glorify You. I magnify You. And I'm going to use my willful decision to overcome any desire to run from God. I'll use my willful decision to study the Word. I'll use my willful decision to fast a meal or two or a day or two. I'm going to willfully focus on the process of mortifying rather than just willfully denying my outward man. And here's what it's saying to us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, that's angels trying to trick you to follow them, nor principalities or powers, that's the enemy coming against you in a sophisticated attack to try to get you off course, nor things present, nor things to come, things I'm battling with, and things, this is a cry of victory saying, whatever comes against me, whether it be from my outward body's desires or the devil, or persecutions or famines, whatever comes against me, I have the ability to receive freely from God the victory that He's already purchased for me. My problem is never God. I'm never trying to get God to give me something that He's already given to me. My battle is with my outward man and with the devil. And I will win every battle, and so will you if you don't quit. For I'm persuaded that neither life, death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present or things to come, verse 39, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul is saying that I'm convinced that I've given you the pathway here. If you pray in tongues and let the Holy Spirit pray through you the perfect will of God, that you will win. No matter what comes against you, no matter what circumstances are surrounding you, no matter what the devil's devised to hold you back, to stop you, whatever brokenness you're coming out of, you've already won if you keep walking and you walk the right path. Let's walk the right path. Let's quit motivating our flesh and let's mortify our flesh. Here's one verse that I love. It says, verse 37, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So this again is giving us a glimpse of this things that were freely given to us. We are more than conquerors. I tell the story of a guy, hardworking construction worker guy, gets up early in the morning, goes to work all day long in the sun, in the heat, comes home at night and his fingers are dirty from the dirt and his hands are callous. I shook a hand one time. I remember one hand that I shook. It was a miner up in northern British Columbia where I was raised. And he was a church member, and I shook this old guy's hand, and his calluses on his hand were so thick, I could feel it. It was like rawhide. It was so thick because he'd worked with his hands. I got preacher's hands. I don't have that kind of, you know, my hands are like girl's hands. They're soft and because I'm a preacher, you know. This man was a man's hand. I mean, it was thick and rough and raw. You could feel it gristle on when you shook his hand. That's a real hand. Well, this is like the story is a construction worker goes out, gets up every morning, goes to work, leaves his home and his wife and kids and works all day long. And he's got these thick calluses on his hands and dirt under his fingernails. And he comes home every night, has dinner. And the next morning off he goes to work again for 8-10 hours. He's gone, comes back and he's tired. And then finally, after 2 weeks, every 2 weeks he got his paycheck, and he came home on Friday, the paycheck day, and he walks in, he's got dirt all over him and dust and concrete under his fingernails, and his hair is messy, and he's exhausted, and he's got sweat from working, and there's his little wife, and she says, oh honey, I'm so proud of you, you got your paycheck. And he pulls out his little piece of paper and says, Yeah, baby, I've worked hard all 2 weeks hard. I've worked hard all this time. And he holds up the paycheck and he says, now look here, I am a conqueror. And she holds up his paycheck and she goes, oh, and she squeezes his muscles. Oh, you're so strong. You are the conqueror. And he holds it up as he shows his prize, his paycheck. And then she slips his hand over and she grabs up the paycheck out of his hand and she says, you're the conqueror, honey. And she pulls out the paycheck and says, me? I am more than a conqueror. And then she walks away. And see, that's what this means. That the Bible doesn't call you the conqueror. it says that you are more than conquerors. The conqueror is Jesus. He's the one who won the victory. He's the one who's defeated sickness and disease and poverty. He's the one who's defeated the devil. You don't need to fight the devil. You need to overcome the devil. You don't need to fight against your flesh. You need to mortify it, overcome it. And Jesus has already paid the price for us to freely walk this path out, to receive it all. You are more than a conqueror. And the difference between willpower and mortification is willpower says, I am stronger than my flesh. And technically you are. You have the power and the right to say no to your flesh. But usually that just sits with smoking and drinking. But what about the areas you don't know about that are trying to lead you in your life? A purpose, a value, of happiness, a success that aren't from God, but they're from your mortal flesh. Those also must be mortified. And if you're not careful, you can try using discipline and willpower to overcome the flesh, when really we need to focus our discipline and our willpower. Yes, we deny our flesh. Yes, we're responsible for any sin we commit or act in. We get angry or lash out or are prideful. Yeah, you don't have to give in to those things. But the pathway in this message here out of Romans 8 is not willpower, that you have enough strength now, overcome it. It is deny yourself, yes. Don't give in to it, yes. But focus your strength, your discipline, and your willpower on making yourself pray in the Holy Ghost, worship, fast, all the things that we teach. Because those things build up the inner man and then help the Holy Spirit to shine a light on the root of what's causing you to go off track. What's causing you, what is causing those weeds to grow up? What's causing that bad fruit to come out? The light will shine on it, and then you can say, I see why I feel that way, why I act that way. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to mortify it. We are more than conquerors. Let's go over to Romans 13. Verse 11, Romans 13, just for time's sake here. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now your salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So this is the process of Romans 8, that you're building up the inner man and having that light shine more and more in the inner man, and you're casting off the works and desires and the deeds of the outward body, of the flesh. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness. Too many Christians have learned how to hold back darkness, but they're not casting it off. They're not mortifying it. And let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light is taken from the new nature, the fruit of the Spirit, and having it grow forward, love, joy, peace, holiness, grow forward in your inner man. And then as it grows forward, you're able to mortify the outward man. The night is far spent, verse 12, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's not talking about salvation, that's talking about building up and growing up, maturing of the inner body, the inner man. You take, and that's what happens when you pray in tongues, when you worship, and you're in the Word of God. You're actually building up that inner man. It's growing up in the knowledge of God, in the truth of God, in the love of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. This is the outward man. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't let the outward man tell you anything about who you are. It can't tell you how to be happy. It can't tell you how to be successful. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Your job is not just to make it through this life and do good works for God. Your job is not just to hold back from doing things that you know are against God. Our role as a believer is to acknowledge that I am a new creation. I'm a new child of God. He loves me and has freely given me all this wonderful love, joy, access to His love, His joy, His peace. He's given me victory. He's given me power over sin. He has given me provision and healing. He's given me success. I have to now put off the old man, put off this flesh. I have to put him off. I have to mortify him. This is the job of being a Christian. It's so lost in our modern church world. Modern church world is focused so much on trying to build the church. Let's gather more people. And praise God for every person who gets saved. But for you, there's so much more than just going to church and just being a good person and just sharing the gospel. There's so much more for you than just resisting the flesh and doing good. There's a pathway of great victory for you, a wonderful future designed by God Himself for you, His child. But it will not come to pass if you don't follow this process and grow in the Spirit. Take time to pray in the Holy Ghost. God cannot make His will happen in your life. It must be followed and prayed through, and that's what the Holy Spirit will do through you. Mortification is not the same as willpower. Willpower only lasts as long as you want it to. And the moment you stop, the moment you take a breath, I had one young man tell me, like, I need to be on guard all the time. I have to do this and this and this. And he gave me a list of things that he had to do so he wouldn't sin. And I remember saying, well, listen, you know, the problem with that is you're going to have to do that every moment of your life. You'll never get to go, oh, I'm going to enjoy the sunshine. You can't do that because the moment you do, that flesh will still be there. It doesn't disappear. The answer is not just willpower to resist sin. That's the start. That's faith. That's the start. Good for you that you want that. But if you live there, you're never able to take a break. But if you mortify the reason why you're tempted to do things, if you mortify the reason why you're angry or why you're insecure, the reason why you're prideful, the reason why you're envious, the reason why you're jealous, the reason why you're driven, if you mortify that, then it will go away. It's dead. You can kill that thing in your flesh while you're wearing it. Great. How do I do that? Can I just choose to do that? No, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Because if you pray in tongues, He will pray the perfect will of God for you, and He'll begin to shine the light of the root of why you desire that thing. And when you see that root, you won't just be cutting off the top of the grass. You'll go and you'll pull it out. You'll kill it. You'll mortify it. It's dead. And then the root's dead. It no longer grows. It's not there anymore. It's gone. That's the power of this walk of the Spirit, is you can mortify the deeds of the flesh. The message today is a message of hope, a message of truth, and a message of power for every single believer, that you have a Father who loves you, believes in you, and He's given you a pathway to overcome that flesh, a pathway to overcome the desires of the outward man, and a pathway to grow up the inner man and be a child of God in the fullness and receive freely everything Jesus has given to you. You're not a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Jesus has paid the price. He's already defeated the enemy. We just have to overcome. Let's keep praying in tongues. Let's take our willpower and discipline and focus on the right path. Let's focus on prayer and worship. Listen, you got a great future ahead of you and a Father who loves you. And I love you too. Thank you for spending time with me. God bless you.